The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Now we're joined by Stephen Erlanger, Chief Diplomatic Correspondent in Europe for the New York Times. Stephen, thanks indeed for talking to us. When Donald Trump says a whole civilization will die tonight, never to be brought back, do you think he means those words?
It's a very good question. I hope he doesn't. It would be appalling if he does. I think he's just, as usual, exaggerating. I mean, Trump tends to say everything is the best that's ever happened, and he's the best that's ever happened, so this war has to be the worst that's ever happened. But it's chilling. I agree with you. It's chilling. So I think he means it as a threat. It could be that there is quite a lot of bombing tonight, but wipe out a civilization back to the Stone Age. I don't think you can wipe out a civilization in any case. Certainly Iran is a much longer civilization than most Western civilizations, yeah. and it will survive.
Reports from Iran that people are forming human chains along bridges and around power plants in response to Donald Trump's threat to destroy infrastructure. That is also pretty chilling, isn't it? The idea that people could lose their lives in large numbers vainly trying to defend this infrastructure.
Yes. I mean, in a way, it's not surprising. I covered the Kosovo War, and the Serbs did this also. They lined bridges at night. And it's a very brave thing to do. I'm afraid from the distance and height people bomb, they wouldn't even know whether people are there or not. But it does indicate, certainly Iranians are taking it seriously, but Iran as a government, in the face of this threat, has broken off such talks as it has had through Pakistan with the Americans. So, we're not going to get any diplomatic solution tonight.
I know it pales into insignificance compared to, you know, the deaths that have happened and are likely to happen tonight. But with your chief diplomatic correspondent hat on, can I ask your take on Donald Trump's tweet on the use of the F word and on Saturday? Can you ever remember a world leader issuing that kind of social media post or statement in your lifetime?
No, certainly not publicly. I mean, people swear a lot in their own offices, that's for sure. I mean, the Nixon tapes would show that. But no, this felt quite unhinged, particularly on Easter Sunday. It seemed very strange. He's very frustrated, obviously, and he tends to tweet these things on his own. I don't know who's vetting him, not everyone all the time. But it was extraordinary and quite bizarre. We actually quoted it in full, which we rarely do given the expletive. But, we felt it simply had to be written down.
Yeah, absolutely. Is it a sign that he feels backed into a corner, that he doesn't have a plan B, that maybe he completely got this wrong in terms of how he thought this war would play out?
Well, I can't, read into his head. And in fact, it's getting harder and harder, to be honest, to read into his head, because he's given five different justifications for the Strait of Hormuz. Some days he says, it'll open by itself. And some days he blames Europe for not opening it. And some days he's astounded that Iran shut it altogether. I think he is frustrated. I mean, rather, I keep thinking of when Putin went into Ukraine more than 4 years ago. He thought he'd be a quick war and Ukraine would collapse, and that was with ground troops. But Trump clearly thought the same. But I cannot think of a single example since World War II, certainly, of a country capitulating under air power. Just hasn't happened. Even in the Kosovo War, It was the threat of American troops, which were about to come in to Kosovo and Serbia from Albania, that finally got the Serbs to concede. So it's a strange thing. Air power tends to solidify people's feelings. They get angry. It happened in Nazi Germany, too. So I think Trump misjudged it. I do think he's frustrated. His pal Steve Witkoff can't understand why Iran, in the face of all this power, didn't capitulate right away. But there is a real misunderstanding of Iran and how the world works. To be honest, I'm sure Trump was told by Pentagon and CIA that, you know, this war might not go the way he thought it would. We've reported that the Israelis thought regime change would be possible and fairly quick. But clearly he simply, you know, I mean, they've misjudged it. We don't know how the war is going to end, by the way. I mean, it's, you know, I can imagine it ending in a way that restrains Iran's nuclear capability, restrains its ability to cause difficulty in the whole region, that keeps a broken Iran focused on itself rather than on Israel and other places. And that could be a kind of victory. But the Strait of Hormuz, it seems to me, can only be open through some sort of negotiation.
Very finally, I see Iran is warning its neighboring countries that restraint is over. Coupled with what Donald Trump has been saying over the last few days, do you think things are going to get worse before they get any better?
Well, this is my fear. I mean, the frustration leads to, you know, to use the cliche, another rung on the escalation ladder. And now, you know, Americans have more troops in the region. There's talk about taking this island or that island. I hope it doesn't happen, but I fear we are on an escalatory ladder. My only hope is that somehow, certainly tonight, Trump decides that negotiations are going well enough, even though they're not, to extend his deadline again. And, you know, it just should be pointed out, to be honest, that we have been saying, we as the United States, Europeans, that Putin's bombing of civilian infrastructure in Ukraine qualifies as a war crime. So I hope that doesn't happen tonight to Iran.
Okay, Stephen Erlanger, a chief diplomatic correspondent in Europe with the New York Times. Thank you indeed for talking to The Hard Shoulder.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.